How important is it? How interesting is it? And it's those kind of difficulties that many people with ADHD struggle with. You know, so what can we do about this kind of stuff? What about treatment? Well, in my mind, the most important thing that we have to offer is education of both the patient and the family about a little more scientific understanding of ADHD and its treatment. Like, it looks like a willpower problem, but it's not. And we understand that the medications we have to improve executive function are like eyeglasses. It's not like an antibiotic that knocks out an infection and cures it. They relieve symptoms, but they don't cure it. It's like my glasses. I've got a problem with my eyes. I can't read typewriter-sized print without my glasses. Put these on, I read it about as well as anybody can. Take them off, I'm right back where I started. The glasses do not fix my eyes. They just help me see when I've got them on. And in the same way, the medicines we have for treating ADHD do not cure ADHD by a long shot. And they're effective, not for everybody. In no field of medicine do we have something that works for everybody. They're effective for about 80% of those affected. They definitely need the fine-tuning I was talking about before. And for some people with ADD, it's huge how much it helps them. For others, it's substantial, but it's not huge. And others of those 80%, it helps a little, but not that much. And 2 out of 10, it doesn't do a damn thing. Not every problem comes with a solution. But the fine-tuning can make a big difference. But of course, there are a lot of people who say, well, I don't want to be on medication for ADD. I don't want my kid on medication for ADD. Can't we find something that doesn't involve any pills? Well, this is the slide I should have had earlier. Let me take a moment to talk about it. It's just a review of what we said about 10 minutes ago. What do these stimulant medications do? This is the presynaptic side from which there is the release. These little star things are supposed to be representing the effect of the transmitter. In this case, we'll say some dopamine that's being released and lands on this. But you've got to understand, these are just 5 examples, and there are like a huge number of these things on every side. But then what we have here are these are the proteins. These symbolic torpedo-like things represent the proteins, which are the little vacuum cleaners that suck the stuff back up. And in the case of methylphenidate and amphetamine, they both slow the reuptake of dopamine. So you don't have that pull it back so fast. It slows it down fractions of a second, so you get a little better connection. But increasing the amount of dopamine that's released is something that's done only by the amphetamines and not by methylphenidate. They don't release it a lot, but they do release a little bit more. And that's the balancing act. If you've got somebody who's got enough out there already, you give them amphetamine, you're going to have trouble because you've got too much in and it sort of messes up the system. But if, on the other hand, if you've got somebody who doesn't have enough of it released, you've got a rate-limiting factor. And so that's not going to help out a whole lot either. Now what we know is that on positron emission tomography studies, the stimulant medications enhance the signal. You get the better signal in terms of this, and they have also the capacity to deactivate that default mode network so you don't get as much noise when you're trying to focus on other things. Those are two of the mechanisms I've displayed the mechanism, but those are two of the effects of it. But the other thing is, there's some interesting studies that have just come out over the last few years on the motivation and reward impairments associated with disorder. And on PET scans, you can see that the dopamine release in the reward circuits of adults with ADHD, you don't get as much of it out there with many adults with ADHD as you would. And that's basically the juice that helps us say, yeah, this is interesting, we better stick with it. And there's also decreased receptors for dopamine in the rewards processing section of the brain, the accumbens, which are correlated with attention measures. And what they found was in this particular study that was done by Nora Volkow and her colleagues at Brookhaven, she's now with the National Institute of Drug Abuse, that methylphenidate increases motivation for task, placebo doesn't. You know, so that's one of the other ways in which this medicine works. And many times, not always, but if you're lucky enough to get this medicine working well for somebody, often what they'll say is, I feel more like doing my work. You know, it's not like I love to do homework. Who loves to do homework? And I don't love every part of my daily job, but It's more like, okay, I've got to do this, let me get it done. That's what we're looking for. Now, what else is there for the people who do not want to do that? Well, you could eliminate certain things from your diet. Food color exclusion. You can try taking fish oil. You can do cognitive training. You can do neurofeedback, or there are a variety of behavioral interventions. And we've recently had a couple of studies that have come out saying things that some people don't like to hear. And I've got the citations up here for the studies. Most of them are done within the last few years. And basically what they found was, when they did a meta-analysis, this is an analysis of the analyses, that there are several limitations to some of the studies which have previously looked at this, because they have not randomized the design where you get randomly assigned people to get the active treatment or not. They often have not had people who don't have ADHD in the sample, so you can see what people who don't have ADD are going to respond to with this, or adequate outcome measures. And worse of all, the estimates of whether or not these things are working are often based on assessments by people who are giving the treatment. You know, if you buy the services for your kid to get neurofeedback treatment, you are administering, you say to the kid, okay, come on, you got to do it now. You're putting out the money, you're putting in the time, and then we ask you to fill out a rating scale. How do you think your kid is doing now that he's been doing this program you've been busting your tail to have him do? Is that going to be an unbiased assessment of how the kid is doing? Not very likely. What they found was, in this meta-analysis that was published by a group of very fine researchers in Europe, is that the fish oil stuff had some small beneficial effects, and that the elimination of food coloring helped only a few people who had very peculiar food sensitivities. There are a few people who have allergies where it really does make a difference whether they have this or that additive. But the evidence for the value of neurofeedback, cognitive training, and behavioral interventions is limited to unblinded ratings by individuals likely to have an investment in how it works out in the first place. And surprise, surprise, they come out looking pretty good. But if you give blinded assessments where the people who are rating them do not know who's getting the treatment and who doesn't, they don't reach significant levels statistically. And then we've got things like CogMed, widely advertised, and there's some competing products out there now, and there are now several studies. I had another one I was reading on the train on the way in today. They all basically are saying the same thing. Working memory training has positive benefits on tasks that are similar, if not identical, to those that you're being trained on, but there is no evidence of transfer to other less directly related tasks. In short, they don't generalize. You get real good at doing the specific tasks that you're being asked to do on the program. That's what you're practicing, but it doesn't make any difference in how you do the other stuff. And there's no good evidence that the CogMed working memory training program is effective as an effective treatment for ADHD. And unfortunately, that's the story. Now, that's not to say that there might not be some people who would benefit from some of this stuff, but what it is saying is, watch it. The one thing we've got some evidence on is medicine. Medicine does not always work, and its best chance of working is if it's very carefully fine-tuned, and even then it doesn't always work. But if you want to live in the world of reality, these non-pharmacological measures, for the most part, do not do as much as they are touted to do by the people who are selling them. Okay, I'm getting a signal. I need to hurry up and shut up. Okay, the other thing is, this is a complex disorder, often complicated by comorbidity, and which simply means comorbidity is just medical jargon for having more than one problem at a time. And not only is it possible to have something else with ADHD, it's 6 times more likely if you're an adult. If you look back over your life, you've got a better chance. Take a look at it, the kids. The rate for anxiety disorders in children is about 5% in the general population. It's about 25% in kids with ADHD. Same kind of thing with the depression, with substance abuse, OCD, learning disorders, etc. This is a study that was done some years ago. It tells us that 6 times the usual rate for some psychiatric disorder among adults with ADHD compared to the general population. And what we're learning now is that this these symptoms of impairment in executive function cross the boundaries of disorders and of brain structures and the boundary between pathology and normality. And ADHD is not just one disorder among many, it cross-cuts these other disorders. You know, and, you know, for example, you know, Antonio Damasio, a neuroscientist, said, without basic attention and working memory, there's no prospect of any coherent mental activity. Or Joaquin Fuster, another neuroscientist, says, attention serves all the other functions. The way I think about it is, let me use another commuter analogy. If on your computer, your Excel program goes down, you're not going to be able to do spreadsheets and do calculations that Excel does. But if your Windows program goes down, it's going to screw up all the other programs as well. ADD is much more like having a problem with the operating system of your computer and not like having a problem in one particular part of the software. So, to summarize, the essential problem in ADHD, and based on the more recent research, is this is a developmental impairment of executive function, which may or may not be accompanied by behavior problems. Brain differences that underlie it include delay in maturation of some executive function areas of the brain, disrupted regional communications, and inconsistent neuronal communication. It's most effectively assessed with clinical interviews and rating scales, not with neuropsychological tests. It's most effectively treated with medications. Behavioral treatments may be somewhat helpful for some treatments, but evidence is limited and often biased. And it's related to other disorders as the operating system of computer is related to the software. So at this point, let me stop. I've got time to take a few questions. Please. Well, it's usually the other way around, actually. Dexedrine is not available in many European countries. Methylphenidate is. I think you've got it backwards. And if that's what they're telling you. Okay, well, then it's rich kids who are coming over whose parents are importing dextroamphetamine for them in Europe. Because the fact is that the amphetamines are much more difficult to get in Europe and Asia than they are in the United States at this time. But, you know, there are some college, a lot of kids with ADHD and a lot of kids who don't have ADHD are taking medicines in college and sometimes in high school. Sometimes it's just that they think of this as a way of being able to stay awake to pull an all-nighter to do all the homework they should have done in the preceding 3 weeks. And in other cases, they really do have ADHD and they found the medicine helps them, but they haven't been able to get the diagnosis and the treatment. Please.
Have you or anyone else been working on or found how to counteract the high blood pressure effect of Ritalin, if Ritalin is in fact effective in treating ADHD?
Any of the stimulant medications can increase blood pressure a bit. Usually it's just a few points, but if you're dealing with somebody whose blood pressure is running kind of high to begin with, then generally you've got two things to do. One is to try a couple of different medications for ADHD because they're not all equally likely to jack it up, although one may work for one person and one not work that same way for another. But the other thing that has been demonstrated, Tim Willens at Harvard has published one paper, and there's several other papers that are associated with it, which indicate that you can often treat these problems by getting a cardiologist involved and being able to get the blood pressure, get the hypertension under control first, and then cautiously come at it with a medication and see if you get lucky.
Right, but if you get the blood pressure too low, then enough to get the Ritalin.
Well, yeah, it's a balancing act.
And part two is you're talking about DOPA.
Dopamine, yeah.
Has L-DOPA, which is used for Parkinson, been used for?
No, you're talking, the Parkinson's problem is different. That's a different part of the brain, and there are different circuits. We're not talking about the dopamine that's involved in Parkinson's.
Okay.
We're talking about a different set of networks.
Thank
please.
You. Thank you.
So you talked about the medication.
I'm sorry, repeat, please.
You said that medication was really the only proven remedy.
It's the one on which we have the most evidence, but it doesn't work for everybody.
So what are some of the other things that
the first thing I do is try and educate people about what this disorder is and what it isn't, because a lot of people come in with very clear ideas about this, which are based upon incorrect assumptions about what it's about. A lot of other people come in having been tried on medications, but they were either dosed too high or too low, or they didn't try enough different medicines to get it stabilized for them. And sometimes we can get lucky with trying something a little bit different. Because there are many prescribers, for example, I teach in a medical school, and I can tell you, a fairly decent medical school for that matter. But I can tell you that even in our medical school, a lot of people who are not coming out trained to deal with pediatrics know zip about the treatment of ADHD, because these medicines that we use are used only for treating narcolepsy and for ADHD. And many of them are afraid of them because they're Schedule II drugs. So,
do you think there's a role for therapy, for example?
I think often people need help with talking about what's going on, but I don't expect the help that's not going to change the chemistry. I can reduce a person's anxiety by talking with them, but I can't increase their dopamine. However, it's also true that a lot of people with ADHD have developed ways of functioning that are avoiding things that they could have been able to do if only. And generally, it's just a matter of you get the medication right and they can take care of it for themselves. They know damn well what they should have been doing, they just haven't been able to get themselves to do it. And then you just have checkups once in a while and deal with problems as they emerge. But there are other people who sort of missed out on a lot of stuff. And they're in the process of having to do some catch up, and then there's some who have other difficulties. For example, somebody who has a lot, I've seen a lot of very bright people who do well in exams, but they can't write papers because they cannot write a rough draft and go back and fix it. They have to get the first sentence to sound perfect before they can write the second sentence. Then it has to look perfect before you can write the third sentence. It's a very tedious and time-consuming, very frustrating process, and often they just don't get the damn thing done at all. That's ADD with OCD. And that's no joke. That's a serious business. I've seen people flunk out of school because of exactly that, and some good schools, smart people. And then they need some help not only with medication. Sometimes we have to medicate for OCD as well, but other times we've got to just identify it and then work with them to get some other things done. Please. Developmental delay, yes. Oh no, sometimes people do catch up amazingly well. However, it's also true that a lot of important things are going on between the ages of 14, 15, and 20.
And later on, in terms of as for an adult, if it's a delay, which was said about approximately 3 years, so two things. One is if it's a delay for 3 years, would there not be a potential around 25 or 26 to catch up? And or what are the characteristics that are going to
Well, there's not a lot we can do to jack up the myelination. Some of those things are, that's the way they're sort of like trying to get somebody to grow taller. We don't have the equivalent of growth hormone for that. But the good news is that there are a lot of people who are able to do remarkably well, but keep in mind that you're also looking at the context and not just the person in the disorder. And so sometimes it's a matter of getting them into a different vocation or getting them into a different school, or getting them some extra tutorial help. There are a whole bunch of other things that we do. I've got a new book that'll be coming out in March called Smart But Stuck, where I'm presenting case studies. And one of the things I talk about is every one of those cases, it took a therapeutic relationship as well as a medication. It's not just pill pushing.
I'm afraid we have time for only some more questions.
Okay, please.
Yeah, have studies been done comparing the effectiveness of stimulant medications versus the non-stimulants like strattera?
Yes, there have been studies comparing the stimulants and the non-stimulants, and the basic message is stimulants tend to be they're faster to kick in. Strattera, for example, you can't tell what you've got in a response until they've been taking it 4 to 6 weeks. There are more GI symptoms associated with it and more problems with somnolence. But for some people, that works when the stimulants won't. Head-to-head comparisons usually come out with the stimulants a little bit ahead of it in terms of efficacy. But there are some people who just can't take the stimulants. you've tried different doses, you've tried different stimulants, and they work very well with something like Strattera or Intuniv, or maybe a lower dose of stimulant with some Intuniv, something like that. Okay, I'm told I can take one more. You're it.
My question is, ADHD.
Speak a little louder, please. Okay, very good question. The question is, if we're talking about comorbidities, where you've got something else with the ADHD, is it which comes first? Usually it's the ADHD which comes first, although it may not always be noticed first. Second thing is, the second part of the question was, is it possible that somebody who's depressed or anxious may be anxious or depressed because they've got these problems with ADHD, and it's very frustrating. You know, I think if you're trying to go to school or do a job with untreated ADHD, if it's a significant case of it, it's like you're trying to run the Boston Marathon with a knapsack of bricks on your back. You can do it, but you got to work a lot harder than everybody else, and the results you get for your efforts aren't anywhere near what they would be for somebody else with the same amount of effort and the same amount of ability who just didn't have to carry the bricks. You know, and so part of it is a matter of sometimes what looks like depression is a demoralization. If I've got somebody coming into my office and they're depressed and just bummed out, dysthymic, the sort of thing, everything sucks, everything has always sucked, everything always will suck, and that's just the way it is, but I can get out of it when something interesting is going on, I'll treat the ADHD first. And then if that doesn't work, if they're still depressed, then I'll come with the antidepressant treatment. But if they're in danger of killing themselves or sleep is totally screwed up, then we have to go first for the other. I'm sorry that I don't have time to be able to do with all these questions, but thank you very much. Thank you. It was a good group. Their questions were good. They seemed to be with it and following quite well.
87 people.
Good.
It's a little bit less than I thought, but everything considered.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Hi.
I'll talk to you later,
yes.
About Dr.
Okay.
Parent.
But may I ask, not even a minute for Dr. Parent. Okay, because he needs to make a change.
Okay.
You can contact him.
Trying to find somebody in the NHS. I'll talk to you later.
NHS, the National Health Service. Email me.
I certainly shall.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. No, thanks. I've got some other arrangements. I appreciate the offer.
If you need any assistance,
I'll get out of the way. I'll help you.
Congratulations. Yes. I have a car on my hand. I'm so happy for you.
It took 21 years, but it's done. So I'm the rare success story.
No, you're not the rare success one, but it is unusual.
Thanks for coming.
Very
I'm glad you're here. Thanks.
You have a website.
It's not as unusual.
I'm sorry?
You have a website?
Think, but it is very.
Yes. Let me give you a card.
Never in jail, never thrown out of school.
So you treat patients?
Pardon?
You treat patients?
Sure.
So how do you go about it?
You can email or call my office.
Yeah? All right.
Talk to my secretary.
Thank you.
Sure.
I take it you want to get out of here as soon as possible. That's why.
Yeah, I appreciate the protection. If somebody wants to get in touch, I'll be glad to give them a card. What? You did what?
I mean, that's fine. They set up chairs, it would have been okay to keep it the way they were. They're so used to some, I think, even just your parents.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Worked well, thank you. We need to turn it off now.
Yes.